the Sports Medicine Broadcast, episode 78, Tech in the Sports Medicine Classroom, take 2, recorded April 25th, 2014. Today, our special guest is Richard Davis and Amy Salinas of Magnolia West High School. This is the second time we've tried to do this. Last time, as should be, when we're talking about tech in the classroom, all of our technology was just busted. So they were having trouble with their audio over there. We were having trouble with our computers just shutting down over here. And so we're trying this again, and I'm thankful that they're able and willing to jump back on and give it a shot again today. So I am your host, Jeremy Jackson, and with me today is
George,
Marlon,
Edith,
Brianna,
Jocelyn,
Marissa,
Lorena.
Jocelyn, I like how you forgot your name there for a second. Okay. All right. If you want to join our conversation, almost every single Wednesday, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. You can use hashtag DSMB. You should be able to use that on Google Plus or on Twitter, and then it should be able to show up there with Brianna or with Edith watching. Both of them are watching the comment thing there. If you're watching it on Ustream, you can use a social feature, and then Marlon will see that there. Todaysmeet.com/sportsmedicinebroadcast, which typically tends to be better for students in a high school to use. It's a little bit easier. And George is also watching that here. So again, all those are on our website at sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. Speaking of technology in the classroom, I've been looking at kind of rebranding or doing a different logo. And so one of the things that we're doing is actually with the digital art. I went to the teacher there, and his students each came up with a different concept for our new logo. And so we've been in the process of them designing that and then me updating and picking which ones and what I like and what I don't like. And so pretty soon, maybe this summer, we'll reveal the new logo for the Sports Medicine Broadcast. It'll be a little bit more than just the real simple one that I have. So I'm pretty excited about that. And again, that's using technology, but free stuff, because I'm using the people here at the school, and the skills and the students are actually going to be the ones that did all the work to put it together, come up with the design. It's pretty cool. I'm excited about being able to incorporate the students and the things that they're learning here. So, all right. So that's all I got there for the warm up. So we'll go ahead and jump right into it.
Miss Salinas, can you tell us a little about yourself and what you do?
Amy?
For Miss Salinas?
Yeah.
For Amy?
Oh, okay. So what we do, I'm the assistant athletic trainer here at Magnolia West High School. So as far as tech in the classroom, we have a whole bunch of stuff that we try to incorporate. So the biggest things that we use for our students are the Google Hangout videos. So we'll record videos for tests, and we upload them to our website. And so our students can go on there, look at our videos, or they can go onto our YouTube page, look at their videos, study for their tests that way. We also use Remind 101 is something that we use. TV message boards, and Richard can go into a lot of all this stuff.
We also use Microsoft Access, which is a database program that we use that to run our paperwork and et cetera, our database. The great thing about Access is that we don't have to pay the fee for using a commercial program, but at the same time, it is virtually as powerful. The only problem with it is that it's not an online type program. We also have created our own concussion program that's online. We do our own safety program through SB 82 legislation that's online. Like Amy said, we use Dropbox. We put our physicals online. We're in the process of actually accepting digital physical or digital signatures for our parents. I figure if somebody can sign a mortgage paper for $500,000 online with a digital signature, I would think UIL would probably accept that paperwork also. Amy does a great job using Google Docs, and we track our treatments online. So at any time, a coach can come in and or go on their computer, and we can share exactly if a kid's been here or not. So anytime that there's a piece of tech that's available, we certainly use it. And I heard that Mr. Jackson was talking about doing a brand new graphic, and technology plays a huge portion in graphics. And I remember you have vector graphics and then you have raster graphics, and you want to make sure that when you do your graphics, you do them in vector graphics, because anytime that it's either expanded or shrunk, it works on an algorithm as opposed to pixels. So that way there's no distortion in the graphics. So if you want to put it on a big banner, it's just as great as if you just make a graphic that's small for a t-shirt.
That's good that you said that, because the graphic arts teacher, he said, you know, and these will all be vector files when we send them to you. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever that means. I just know a vector is a line with direction in math, right? Isn't that right?
You can do it in some Adobe programs, but at the best time, if you can find somebody that can take it and translate it into vector, it's great. That way that each individual color that you might have on it would have its own vector algorithm with it.
Okay, well, good. Thanks for explaining that. All right, so before we get much more into all the ways and some of the details of how you guys use the tech, just tell us a little bit about actually who you are. I know in your bio, and I'll have the show notes on the link on the website, but just tell us a little bit about who you are. So it says, you know, Amy graduated from Auburn and with her master's degree, some of the stuff like that. And Richard, you got about 40 different things listed down here for awards or details and that kind of thing. So Amy, why don't you start us off telling us just a little bit about who you are, where you're from.
Okay, so I did my undergraduate degree at Texas State University, did the whole four-year program there, sat for my BOC and my LAT at that time, so I've been certified since 2012. After that, I went to get my master's degree from Auburn University, and while I was there, I was a graduate assistant. So my assistantship consisted of me actually driving out to Columbus, Georgia, where Fort Benning, the Army base, is located. And I worked with Army recruits going through basic training. And so that was a really great experience for me. It's one of the, you know, there aren't very many athletic trainers in that setting. So it was a great experience being able to work in a non-traditional athletic training setting and see how athletic trainers operate there. It was great, and being able to work with, you know, Army cadre and civilians there, and it was just a great experience. And then from there, graduated in August with my degree, somewhere in there, maybe it was June. And then I came to Magnolia West, and I've been the assistant athletic trainer to Richard Davis, and we've made a pretty good team, and we've done a great job, I think, so far. So, and I love it here. It's been a great experience for me being back at high school. So
when you were working on the Army base, is there a full-time athletic trainer there, or do they just have interns there? How does that normally work?
Well, they've changed it this year. The year that I was there, it was just graduate assistants, and we would go in the morning. We would be there at 5 a.m., and we would cover from 5 a.m. to about 9:30, and that was just their like morning PT. Some of their training events we would cover, whether they were doing like rappel tower or obstacle courses, and then we'd come back to Auburn, go to class, and then in the evening there was three people per battalion, so two people in the morning, one person in the afternoon, and they would go and just do extra treatments or cover, like I said, training event. And so now they have it to where they have full times all the time. And so they're not just with basic trainees. They are with, like, the Ranger School. They're with Combative School, with a whole bunch of different schools. And they're there full-time. And they also have graduate assistants. So they have a combination of the two now.
Gotcha. Very interesting. I've, you know, often said that they have athletic trainers in the military, but I've never spoken with anybody that's had that experience. So.
Yeah, it's very rare. It's a hard niche to get into. It's one of those things where you got to know somebody. So it was fun. It was a great experience.
All right. Well, I might have to get with you sometime and figure out how we can get in contact with one of those people and then go from there. George, you want to be in the military?
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah.
George said he wants to be in the military and an athletic trainer. So.
Oh, well, there you go. Hey, you got one contact. All of our networking.
All right. So, Richard, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm just an old man that's been in athletic training all my life. That's my father was an athletic trainer, so following those huge footsteps, it led me here to Magnolia West. I've worked in many different settings. I've worked with everything from junior high sports, club sports, to I've worked with the World League of American Football. I've worked with – we actually covered – now, this one was probably one of the coolest things I ever covered was the U.S. World – or the U.S. Figure Skating Championships. And those people are super athletes. It's just a passion. And if you don't have the passion in it anymore, maybe you go into sales. Maybe you go into something else. But you've got to be passionate about athletic training, taking care of kids, being an advocate for the kids and the families, as well as having your coaches back. And if you just continue to do those things, then you just get to add little things onto your resume, like what I sent you. Not here to just spend my time on this. I'd rather these kids learn about how to use this technology and knock this stuff out.
All right, well, that's good enough then. So your dad was an athletic trainer for most of his life too?
He was a guy named Otho Davis. The NATA building was named after him. He was the executive director of the NATA from 1971 until about 1990. He was the one who negotiated the first contract with Gatorade, and it's a pretty funny little story about how all that went about. Pepsi was trying to get in with their product, which Pepsi, or maybe it was Coca-Cola, but at the time it was Stokely Van Camps that actually owned Gatorade, and it was a pretty neat little story about how they finally got a seven-figure deal out of Gatorade to sponsor the National Athletic Trainers Association.
Yeah, that's interesting because Bubba Wilson, he's over here a lot, and he was, I think he worked with your dad a good bit or something, because he tells a lot of stories about Otho, and so, you know, to me it was just somebody that was somewhere an athletic trainer. I don't know, but I guess it now brings it a little bit closer to home. So
it's pretty close for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would spend evenings putting, like, this. That was all before technology, and everything had to be sent out. Huge, great, big 3-inch notebooks to be sent to the board of directors, and so he had three sons sitting at home. So that meant he had three little minions, and he certainly was the leader of the minions.
So we should just call him Gru. Have you seen Despicable Me?
Yep.
All right, so we're going to get to some of the other questions more about your sports medicine. Maybe we'll talk more about your dad at some point. But
okay.
Mr. Davis, how many classes of sports medicine do you teach?
Well, what we have now is we actually have three classes of sports medicine, and the reason that we keep it in a different class, and next year we might go to four, but then we might slow down the seniors and bring the juniors up to catch them. But we have three classes, and it'll be the freshmen, and what we consider freshmen is going to be a freshman level in the training room. And so that class will show up at the end of the day, and the reason they show up at the end of the day is that's when we really have to do a lot of prep. And if you know, there's a hierarchy in just about everything that they're as far as your work and your professional level. And those at the bottom of the totem pole, you either weed them out by working them long, or they get stronger and they do a great job. And then you make somebody who's got some good character, and you find out that those people are really dedicated. The second class will be during one of our other athletic periods, which is actually right now. And then the third class will be during varsity sports during fifth period. And so they all learn during football what we call the beast, because it is a beast in its own right. During football, we don't have a whole lot of time to teach because we are not on a block schedule. And so we take care of the practices and so forth. And then once football is over, then we start breaking out the PowerPoints and the notes. And yes, they take tests, and they're pretty thorough tests. And so it just depends upon how far along each group is before they go up into the next class. But we have three extra classes, and then maybe four next year.
All right, so on there you were talking about using PowerPoints with the kids, and I've watched one or two of the videos that you do, the video reviews, and you said Amy uses Google Docs a lot. Is there a reason that you're using PowerPoint, or is that just a common word that you use? Or are you actually using
PowerPoint is a whole lot more powerful than what some of these things that Google has a great little niche as far as being able to do things online. But once you put something online and you take it off of a hard drive, you're going to have to free up a whole lot of workspace as far as your coding. And so things that you can do within PowerPoint or Word or whatnot are going to be some things that's not going to be able to be done through an online service such as the Google Docs, but each of them has their place. But the real reason that we actually use PowerPoint is that a lot of these slides I've had around for probably 10 to 15 years, and it's just a whole lot easier to either add to them or delete something from it than it is to create the wheel over and over and over just because a different program's come out.
All right. Yeah, see, Bill and I have more or less gone to Google Docs for everything just because if I'm sitting in the classroom and he's sitting in the training room, we don't have two computers or we don't even have an office in there. It's just one computer and then it's just one open room. And so, you know, if we're working on something, he can work on it there. I can work on it here. He can come work on it here. If I'm up in the classroom, you know, up in the school building somewhere, I could pull it up and work on it or on my phone. So that's one of the reasons we've gone to Google Docs for more or less everything, just because it's easier to keep it and store it there. So,
well, we do share everything on a common drive, a network drive. So whether we're at home or whether we're in one training room or another, Amy and I pretty much can get a hold of everything. And the great thing about it, though, is that if she's got something open that I want to try to edit, and it will tell you then that this is open and you can only view it in a non-edit mode, and that makes it forces us to talk to each other.
Yeah, unfortunately, forces us to talk to each other. Joking.
Mr. Davis, can you tell us about your sports medicine program?
Certainly. I think one of the things that we believe in is Baskin-Robbins. I would imagine y'all like ice cream, right? And when you go to Baskin-Robbins, it's got 31 flavors. And so when you go into Baskin-Robbins, they give you a pink spoon, and that should be what high school's like. Every kid that walks through the door the first day of freshman orientation, you should get a pink spoon. And you should be able to try anything that you want until you find something that you either have a liking for or a true passion for. And that's what we think here. We'll take it just about anybody into our program. And if it works, we are so happy. And if it doesn't work, we're still so happy. You had the ability to try something. And I had a job one time, and my father was asking me, he goes, well, what do you think about your job? You sound like you're really on top of the world. And I said, I love it, Dad. I get to teach people sports medicine, and they can take that knowledge and go out and be athletic trainers. And I thought I was being honorable. And he says, you got it all wrong, son. That's not your job. I said, well, all right, what's my job? And he says, your job is to find out what your students want. What do they want to do in life? And then you facilitate their dreams as opposed to putting your dreams on them. And I sat and I thought real quickly, wow, this guy is pretty smart. So instead, we're not trying here to make little minions for us to take care of everything. We go through each one of these students that come through. What do you want to do? If you want to be a photographer, we'll find you a photographer. I'll bring a camera in. Your job at the ball game then is to take pictures. If you want to be a physical therapist, we'll get you an internship at one of the PT places that we do business with. If you want to be a physician, we'll find a physician that you can shadow. So our sports medicine program really is that we're going to, if you're in the class, you're going to learn what you have to learn while you're here. And we insist that it one is going to make them a better student later in life, because it's a really slowed down version of a college course called prevention and care. And then two, it's going to make them a better mother. So if you take a sports medicine class, you don't freak out if you have kids 10 years down the road and your son fell out of the tree and he broke his arm. You're probably going to tell him, quit crying, put some ice on it, and let's go. So our sports medicine program is pretty much designed to take care of not just the athletes, but also the student athletic trainer. And within our mission statement, our primary goal is to provide quality medical coverage, including prevention, recognition, treatment, etc. But our secondary goal is to get to know and understand each student and learn what their goals are in life and do whatever we can do in helping them achieve their own goals. So that's pretty much how we look at it as far as our sports medicine program. And in doing it this way, we constantly see our numbers grow in students.
That's a really good philosophy. Obviously we want pictures, and so we have had some students that are good at taking pictures, and so we don't have a really good camera, but some of them do, so we ask them to bring it. And then I've also gone over there and talked to the photographers that are on the sidelines, the professional ones, and say, hey, some of my students are interested in doing this. Would you mind talking to them for a few minutes while y'all are out here? And so, I'll just send them over there to talk to them during the game, so they're still there doing their job, but they're getting a chance to meet somebody that is potentially their boss or, a networking opportunity, like we said earlier. So,
can you tell us more about how y'all are using tech in the classroom?
Oh, yeah, certainly. Okay, so one of the things that we do, so when our classes come in, we have a TV out in our training room, and so we have a message board, and so it's something that flashes, fourth period, these are your duties for today. Get the water ready for your sports, or clean the tables, or let's get ready for fifth period. And I can do a screen share here and kind of show you what this looks like.
So in case you're new to Google Hangouts, screen share is just what it sounds like. She's sharing her screen. So what she is seeing, she's sharing with us, so that if she's working on a document, if she's watching a YouTube video or something like that, she's sharing that so that we can all see that and then share the screen.
Okay, so can you guys see this?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can see. Can you see that, Richard?
It's all black right now, but see your mouse moving over.
See it.
Well, it might not work on this, because I can see it online, so I don't know if it's just not working for it to show up on that computer. But basically what it's doing is it is flashing just, their daily duties, and that'll come up on the computer. We use it with just a USB, and it shows like a movie, and it'll play on loop. Another thing that we use is Remind 101, and I absolutely love this because it's a way to get in contact with our students quick and easily. It's basically an online thing here, and I can screen share it. And this just will send a text message. You can see here. This is kind of how it works. One of the last, and it'll send, it's just a mass text. One of the last ones that I sent out was for fourth period because they're starting to letter for athletic trainer, and it says, those of you who lettered this year, I have your letterman jacket packet. Please stop by after school to pick them up. So that's a quick, easy way for us to let them know, like even on game days, hey, let's wear our maroon polos today, khaki pants, or, let them know that there's a change in, baseball location has changed or something like that. And it's an easy way to let them know.
All right. So on that, on Remind 101, is there a reason you use that versus just like a group text? Because, all of my student trainers, actually most of the people in my sports medicine class, have my phone number. And I know some teachers aren't okay with that, but we're not just regular teachers. So tell me more about why you choose to use Remind 101 over regular text.
It's just, for me, it's easy because I'm already sitting at the computer. It's going to text every single person in my class or who's subscribed to the site, instead of me looking and saying, did I leave somebody out? Or, making sure that they all get the same message across the board. I know sometimes in text messaging, it's easy for someone to just make like groups, and that's okay too. We prefer this because it's a safe, easy way to say, to communicate with our kids as opposed to text messaging. They all have our telephone numbers for, emergency reasons or to call us and let us know, like, if there's a kid down somewhere that needs us to be there. But most of the time, sitting at the computer, it's really easy for me to just send out one big mass text or text through the computer this way.
And it's got some really neat features, such as, let's say that we just got in from a ball game and it's midnight. And, of course, we're not going to want to text somebody at midnight. These kids never turn these phones off, even though they should. But you can send it up, set it up to where it can text at a later time. So if you've got reminders that just run into your head, and you know how busy we are, sometimes we might forget to say, okay, we need to remind these kids about this on Friday. So it might be Tuesday. I can set it up to, so you can set it up to where when you put that message in, it'll go out Thursday night at 9 o'clock. So there's some features on that. The other thing is that you can also allow your parents to join in, and then you can text both groups with the same message. It does have a nice mobile app, so we're able to do it on the bus if we're riding back from somewhere. So Remind 101 is really it's a pretty cool little tool. And they've actually – I think they've actually got on Remind 101. I think they've gotten to where now you can add attachments.
Yeah, see, I have an account. I just haven't used it. And actually for GHADS, we've just started using it so we could actually communicate there, you know, like – last year, 2 years ago with GHADS, the golf tournament got canceled, so then they tried to get everybody together for a social, and there was no easy way to communicate that, and so that's what we're trying to move towards. So, you know, Remind 101. I just haven't utilized it yet, but I think it's a pretty cool tool, and so maybe after today I'll set up a group for my class. So,
tell us a time you really bombed an attempt to use technology with your students.
Did you hear? She wants to know about sometime.
Bombed an attempt.
Yeah, sometimes you try to, like last time when we tried to do the podcast and just everything failed. So, you know, when you're, because sometimes
people
are.
That might actually be our only bomb. When we tried to do the full tech video. But for the most part, when we try to incorporate a new technology or a new thing with our kids, the biggest thing is that we test it multiple times. We try and implement it with one another first. We try it out, like, say, the message board thing. We tried that 3 or 4 times before we actually took it to the class and said, hey, this is something new that we're going to do. Same with the review videos. That's something that Davis and I did multiple times before we said, hey, this is what we're going to start incorporating, what we're going to implement. So that is one way that we kind of avoid any technical bombs. But, yeah, we try things multiple times and with new different technologies. And if it doesn't work the first time, we try and find a way to either fix it or do it a different way or alter it slightly. Or if it totally just doesn't work, we try and take that same idea and incorporate it with a different type of technology or, you know, something along those lines.
So no up in front of the class big-time failures or nothing like that?
Davis, can you think of any? Not that I can think of.
The biggest thing is test. That way you don't waste your entire day waiting. And so once the idea comes and takes hold, then we certainly will do it over and over and over until we've either figured out any problems or realized that what our idea is not technologically ready to be implemented. Or we don't have the tools.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I mean, I do test stuff out. I mean, obviously, we test called like last time before, and everything was okay. And then I don't know. Maybe I'm just not as good at testing.
I'm sure you test fine. It wasn't us. It was Google.
Yeah,
we'll just blame it on that.
And then on top of that is we are using school district technology to get together.
Yeah.
All right, so I kind of cut you off talking about Remind 101. Amy, was there anything else that you were talking about, some of the ways that you use technology in the classroom?
We talked about most of the ways we use it in the classroom with our students. Oh, I guess Moodle was another thing that we use, and that's an online thing where they have their own logins, and they log on, and they take quizzes, and then they'll say they don't make 100 on the quiz. They will retake the quiz until they get 100. And every time they take an attempt at the quiz, it will, you know, jumble the answer choices or whatever. So that it's not something that they can go in and write down. Number one was B. Number two was C. It mixes it every time. So it forces them to learn the material and really get a good grasp on what they're learning when they go in and take the test. And I think Richard is trying to show there what Moodle Moodle,
yeah, Moodle is an open source online educational tool. And open source means that anybody can either add to it or add an option to it, to where it's a whole bunch of people across the world that are trying to make things better. The great thing about Moodle is it's free. Universities use Moodle. Our school district fortunately uses Moodle, but we can upload PDF files, PowerPoint, anything that you want to put on there. You can also set it up to where we use Adobe Captivate, and what Adobe Captivate does is that you're able to create quizzes, and those quizzes then change the order of the questions. Also, it changes the order of the answers, but it knows what the correct answers are. So you, little Sally might have her answer be A, and Joey over here it ends up being C. Even though that they had different answers, they end up being correct. It, as far as a teacher, we're able to go and look and see exactly what time some of that our children have taken the quiz. We're also to see how long it took them to take the quiz. We're also to see which questions did they get wrong. So on this one here, it was this question, and then on another one, it was another question. So that ends up being a powerful tool, because it will teach us as teachers also. We might have a little invalid, we might have an invalid question. So Moodle really helps us out as far as being able to give kids quizzes. You can turn it on. You can say, okay, you can take it from 5 o'clock on Friday, but it has to be done at 8 o'clock on Monday. So they have to follow that time frame. If they don't do it, they're not going to get it done. But the way that we use Moodle is that you get as many attempts as you can, but you cannot score less than a 100. And if you score less than a 100 on your quiz, you have to take it over. Now, the thinking behind that is that, one, they're going to do it at home, so you really think that they're not going to use their notes? Yeah, they're going to use their notes. But we're trying to teach them, the more that you look at your notes, the more successful you will be in your quizzes, the more successful you will be in your test. I would just as soon give you 100 on a quiz, making sure that you saw your notes for 10 minutes that day, than to give you an 80 because you remembered the stuff from class. Go, and so that's we don't accept anything less than a 100. And then when we have quizzes in the class, if it's a handwritten one, then even though it's old school tech, pen and paper, if anybody doesn't get 100, the entire class takes the quiz again the next day. So it forces them to sort of pick up the books. But Moodle's pretty neat. And we also use Moodle in a concussion course that we created that is TEA approved. And on top of that, it was, and if I pay the fee again, it was NATA BOC approved for CEUs. And it's the only one that I know of that is actually a two-hour course. And it works sort of like a defensive driver portion, where if you watch the instruction portion, then if you finish that part, you answer yes, you're ready to move on. It marks it in the Moodle, so where you don't have to start over again, so you can stop.
Well, so, one other thing that we used that we didn't talk about was we put all of our classrooms on CDs for our kids, so, or on a flash drive if they want it. So all those PowerPoint presentations that we have, they can come in and say, hey, can I get, you know, one of the CDs with all of our class notes? So that way they can't say, oh, I lost my notes, or, you know, my dog ate my notes, or something like that. They have them. They can take them home, put them in their computers, pull up chapter 23, and just look at their notes that way. So that's a great tool that we started using this year also.
You said just putting all the notes on a flash drive?
Yep, on either their flash drive or like a CD, and we'll pass those out.
Gotcha. The first part cut out.
And then they're on our website too. So Richard is trying to show here.
We also put them online in PDF. And the reason that we put them in PDF is because then that way that any computer, whether it's a Mac computer or whether it is a PC, they can get to it. And if you'll see our screen share there, all of our chapters are on here. So anytime that they want to pick a chapter, they can pick a chapter and the PDF will show up, and so they can print it. My whole philosophy on this is no excuses. So if somebody comes in, and we'll also print these out and give those to the student, but then they can come in and say, well, I lost it, my dog ate it, whatever. There's a computer in our training room that is always available for our kids. It's actually hooked up to our printer. They can go to the library. They can do it at home. So that way we're taking the use out of students and telling them that, there are no excuses. We're not gonna listen to those kind of things, that you have to be responsible.
Yeah, we, with my class here, most everything that I do on Google Docs, like I said earlier, and so I'll actually just share it with them. So most of them can go to their Google Docs share folder. And, you know, at the beginning of the year, that's one of the things we do, is they have to create a Google account so that they can share this. Because if you're looking at the show notes right now, Michelle and Alejandra are the ones typing in there, as well as me, at this all at the same time, you know, and so everybody can kind of look at the same thing at the same time. But it's the same concept for me using Google Docs. I share it so that they have it, if a phone or a computer. But I think I need to get better at putting it on our website. For a while, I used our website pretty extensively, but then they changed it on us, and it kind of messed everything up. So they changed the website, the web host provider or whatever, and it kind of like messed up a lot of things. And I was like, you know what? I just don't want to put a bunch of stock into fixing this. So that they, and then 4 years later, they're going to change it all again. So
I understand what you're saying. I think we're about to do that ourselves.
So then you have to go through and try and fix everything and find out where the files are and the links are and make sure everything's working. So, but, you know, I guess it's a good way to keep you fresh and knowing where everything is and make sure everything's up to date. So have you guys ever used Edmodo? It's like the Facebook for educators.
Yeah, I think that's the one that they asked me to look into, and I just didn't like it.
Yeah, I know that last year or the year before, there was a pretty big push for Edmodo, but again, I've never really used it with the kids, and so I hadn't much experience, didn't know if you guys did. And I think it does a lot of the same stuff that Moodle does, where you can do quizzes. Any of you guys use Edmodo with your classes? Tell me about it real quick, Edith. What is your experience with it? Is it like Facebook? Is it easy to use?
Yeah, sort of like Facebook, but it's kind of confusing at times.
Why?
Like, when you do like an essay on it, it's kind of confusing to attach the file and then into it and send it to the teacher.
Alright, so it is kind of like what he was talking about, where you can attach files and take quizzes and stuff like that. So Edmodo may be another option. I don't know if it's open for all teachers, or if your school district has to, I'm pretty sure it's free, so maybe your school district has to sign up, or at least they have to allow it through the internet filters. So it may be another option other than Moodle, if Moodle is not something that you can work on, because with it being open source, it's, Richard, would you say Moodle is very refined, easy to use for the
you got to get to YouTube several times.
Yeah. So I'm sure Edmodo is like that too, but I know with a lot of open source stuff, there's a lot of changes, and no, the people aren't getting paid, you know, so it's not a pay-for product, so they don't have as much a demand as to fix it and make it easy, like everything Apple was so expensive, but everything Apple works really well together, so.
Mr. Venus, what has been your favorite way to use the technology?
My favorite way? I really like the videos that we do, the review videos for tests, and uploading them onto our either website or having our kids go to our YouTube page. That's great, for especially if a kid misses a class or misses that review day, go on and watch that video, go through their notes, highlight what we talked about, what was going to be on the test, and then so come test day, they're saying, hey, I missed the review, can I take it tomorrow? They know that they're responsible for the material they miss on the day that they miss. So that's one great way that they can go on there and just watch it and catch up with the rest of the class. And we've had pretty good success with that. The last couple of times, the kids that have been absent go on there, watch the 100. They actually do a lot better than the kids that were present on the day of the review. So that's my favorite way.
I love Access. Access is Microsoft's database management. And we're able to do everything from just simple things as importing the student information. My whole thing is that you have a database, and since you have a database, you should be able to not ever have to type anything again. And so we don't have to, and then we have something that's just simple, and we take the time of actually putting everything in it to where it looks like a website. If we need any time that we want to pick football records, we can pick it by however you want. At the end of the year, when it comes up to being physical time, we're able to clear everything out. And then once we want to, when the kids go through, we just go through and we'll pick whether new physical completed, whether they've only got the physical medical history, and we'll just put check boxes in there. And literally within 1 minute after the last kid is done, we are able to email our coaches exactly what kid has come through, picked up his physical, and who didn't show up, who's missing, whatever. Now, in 2007, or maybe it had to be a little earlier, but they started doing steroid testing. So somebody asked me that I was working with. They said, hey, can you do steroid testing rosters, because that can be quite a pain. And I said, sure. So it took 10 minutes, and you just have to get your grease board out and start drawing on it and on your grease board and figure out what's your end result. How do I get there? And a lot of things with computers is that you know what your end result is, and you know what you have to work with. You have to start from the end result, start taking the steps backwards. How do I get this to here? How do I get this to that point? How do I get it to that point? And by doing that, it took 30 minutes. We were done. And that spring, we were called for drug testing. And lo and behold, within 15 seconds, we had it inside of the Excel sheet and ready to send off. And the people were like, why did you get this so fast? No big deal. But one of the things that I learned one time was with Microsoft Access is that sometimes you got to think out of the abstract when you're talking about technology. I was wanting to do this was way before there was online stuff, so I was wanting to use Access to create a track program. So if somebody came in first, they're going to be in the prelims, they're going to be assigned to lane 4. If they come in second, then 5, etc. So you had to give them a ranking on how they finished from 1 through 8. And then the next portion of the program would pick that ranking and then assign them the lane. And I kept having this problem because whenever the first prelim would be done, Access won't start again at 0 and start counting at 1. So what I had to actually do was create what's called a query, which is a program underneath it, or a macro where it would copy a template, delete the original, rename the template, and put it in, and then so to get it to go back to 0. And by learning that one little step, I was able to learn how to do quite a few different things that makes Access work a whole lot better, just by sometimes you got to think differently when you're talking about computers than what it is that you would do, say, with pen and paper.
What other plans do you have for tech in the sports med classrooms?
What we'd like to do is, if you've seen the review videos, is what we'd like to do is we'd like to take one of these cameras and put it out there. Meanwhile, our school district does not want us to videotape our kids, but have use the Google Hangouts and have a video camera available if we're doing anything that is outside of the class. Otherwise, use Google Hangouts and record every lecture during the semester. And then that way, one, they see the slides, they get to hear the explanation for it, and now think of this. Anytime you're absent, that's not an excuse anymore. I'm sorry, I was absent because I had to go to the doctor, I was sick or whatever, but now that's gone because that explanation won't work because now, as you all know, as soon as Google Hangouts is done, within 5 minutes, it's rendered and put on YouTube. So you would know immediately that if you're absent, you need to go to class while you're at home. And the great thing with this being YouTube is that you're able to see it on your iPhone, your Android, your iPad, your computer. And I know all you guys have got telephones. That's your lifeline.
Except Lorena. She broke hers.
Lorena has an invisible phone.
Okay. Well, actually, Richard, I know that you've done some stuff with some other websites. You have AT Placement. Is it atplacement.com? So you have a pretty, I'd say, in-depth technological background, or at least a lot of experience doing it. So do you feel like, to the average person, maybe somebody who's been in the profession 10 or 15 years that didn't grow up with, you know, all the phones and the technology when they were in college, think that some of these things are easy for them to do?
The only thing that limits you yourself. When I was in college, all we had was DOS. And the great thing about learning DOS is that everything that actually still runs on a Windows computer is still running on some version of DOS. It's just maybe not as much. My father at the time, he was probably pushing 60 years old, and we would get on the phone and we would try to push each other into who could do more with their computer. So when he was 55 to 60 years old, he was just learning computers because, you know, they only had a soup can and string as far as technology back when he was age as far as communications. And so this really, and he kept opening the box. So he told me before 1995 that what he thought the future of healthcare would be that each person would have their healthcare records put into one database. The database company would hold on to your records and then put a barcode and send you stickers with barcodes, and you would take that sticker and put it in your wallet and put it inside your shoe or inside your belt. And if any time that you ever had an accident to where you couldn't speak, once they got you to the hospital, they could pick up your health records and your previous health records just by scanning that barcode. And now this was, you know, 25 years ago or 20 years ago. And I'm thinking, holy smokes, if he was already thinking that way, these kids, no telling what they're going to be able to do. They're going to, like, develop an app to get the International Space Station to stop by the house or something. So, yeah, they can do anything they want to do. The only thing to them is just going to be their imagination.
All right. Well, actually, if Reno Richard's going to be helping me out with some stuff on the GHADS website, and so they also, through GHADS, you can earn CEUs through for listening to this podcast to learn about how you can use tech in your sports med classroom and some of the other stuff there. And so Jocelyn wants to thank some people real quick.
We want to thank the people who helped make this podcast possible. GHADS for sponsoring CEU opportunities, PISD Education Foundation, and Pasadena Health Clinic CEO John Schweinster.
And so then you can check out our website again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. I'll have the show notes up there and links to some of the stuff we talked about there. Almost every Wednesday we're live. This is a special one because it's Friday. So you can join the conversation following the links there.
Following us on Twitter at PHS Sports Med and Google Plus Sports Medicine Broadcast and facebook.com/PHS Athletic Training.
So again, Richard, Amy, I want to thank you guys for joining us. And so for Jeremy,
George,
Marlon,
Eden,
Brianna,
Jocelyn,
Marissa,
Lorena, that's a wrap.